How do you help first-time homebuyers manage the emotional side of purchasing their first home, especially when there are challenges like credit issues?
Real estate, especially long-term, is one of the best and key elements in building wealth. And there's something that really happens inside of us when we're a homeowner. I think that there is a sense of pride and accomplishment. So we've got to make sure that you're prepared for the responsibility that comes along with that.
But this is my house, Mommy. The one I asked Mr. Kringle for. It is. I know it is.
Welcome to The Pursuit of Home, coming to you from New York City. This is real people buying real estate and their unique journey to get there. We share the tips, tricks, and frameworks to help you navigate the bumps in the road that you won't see on reality TV or social media, and which no one has talked about until now. These are the emotional, psychological, ethical, and even spiritual challenges you're more than likely to encounter yourself. Learn from experts who've been there and hang out with me, Scott Harris, your host, who's helped thousands of people buy homes in Manhattan over the last two decades.
Welcome to The Pursuit of Home, where we explore the emotional and practical aspects of finding and creating a place to call home. The side of the process, though, that triggers lots of emotions, but not always the good ones, is the mortgage process. And sometimes, something rather, that we've never spoken about here is when you might have credit challenges. That is, you know, when you have a low credit score. It's not something that we've brought up on the show before. So that's why today we're joined by Christy Nalruzzi, who's an expert in finance and real estate with a passion for helping first-time homebuyers like you navigate the often challenging home buying process. Christy's a mortgage loan officer at Homelendia Mortgage Group. She's a published author. Christy has spent over 20 years helping improve credit for her clients and helping them achieve their dreams of home ownership. So in today's episode, we're going to discuss her approach to working with first-time homebuyers, which I can't wait for, the emotional ups and downs of home ownership. Sorry, guys. And how she's educating clients and real estate agents both to become more financially literate. Christy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott. I'm so thrilled to be here. It's just an absolute pleasure to get to spend a few minutes with you and your great audience.
Christy, you've been in finance and real estate for about 20 years, but something initially sparked your passion for helping first-time homebuyers. Why do you focus so heavily on the credit education for first-time homebuyers?
Great question. So when I was buying my first home, I didn't realize how sticky and emotional and exhausting it could be. And looking at home after home, I had to talk to a couple of different mortgage loan officers before I could find the right fit. The first person I talked to said, "You can't do this." And I said, "Why can't I do this?" And it was because I had moved into a role where I had a mixture of a salary and some commission, but I didn't have it long enough to qualify for the loan programs that they had. So somebody else said, "Why don't you try talking with this person?" I spoke to another loan officer. And she was able to find a solution for me. I'm like, yes. Just goes to prove that it's not a one size fits all. There's different kinds of solutions out there, and you've got to find your right partner. And then I remember sitting in the bank parking lot waiting the day of closing for my final numbers. And it was just frustrating. Fast forward to being introduced to a real estate office where I was an assistant to a broker, and I really fell in love with the industry of real estate. Somebody had said, "You know, you would be a great mortgage loan officer." And I said, "Well, why?" And they said, "Because you're a solution creator. You look at things from a different perspective." And I thought, well, what do I have to lose? So I shadowed somebody for a little while, and I actually fell in love with that side of the business. So my prior is I was a real estate agent for a few years, a short sale negotiator for a few years, and I had been an assistant to a broker. So I got to see kind of all angles of that side of it. When I started in the business, I started realizing I love relationships. I love people. And this being, I mean, think about it. Home is where the heart is, right? And you can't take the heart out of the process. And so I started realizing a lot of people in this business treat it very transactionally. And I'm a squishy relational person. So who would most appreciate that extra attention and that extra love? It was who I just was, which was a first-time homebuyer. It was scary. I didn't know what kind of questions to ask. And I felt like if I didn't ask questions, how am I going to get that information? So the approach that I like to take, and I hope that we'll have a few minutes to extract it today, is if you don't know what questions to ask, how do I get the information I need, but I don't know that I need? I don't know what I don't know in this process. And how it brought me to credit was I started doing some research and I discovered that the number one reason for mortgage denials is credit related. And then so I started looking at who's talking about credit out there. And there's not a lot of people. Dave Ramsey.
Clearly. I mean, we're right. Clearly. Like we haven't talked about it here and it's, you know, episode, whatever it is. It's like, you know, wait a minute. This is such an obvious thing to bring up and something it's like, we were talking before. It's like the dirty underbelly, but it really shouldn't be. This should be like out in front. Hello. You know, we have lots of dings on their credit. Why are we not talking about it? So yeah.
We need to, it's actually more important than your down payment. It has a bigger effect on your approvability and also your interest rate. A lot of times people think, well, if I have a larger down payment, my interest rate will be improved. And actually the biggest impact on your interest rate is going to be credit score related. There's something called loan level price adjustments that most lenders do. And the biggest adjustments are credit score related. And then we've got Dave Ramsey saying, you don't need to have a credit score. And that may have worked 20 or 30 years ago, but it's not the truth today. Even your homeowner's insurance company, when you go to select and get your homeowner's insurance, they're going to pull your credit. There's a homeowner's risk number that they have, but they also look at credit score as well. So it's that important.
Gosh, okay. So this leads perfectly into my next question. You've called yourself a credit geek. You know, you're helping people, you're specializing in helping people improve their credit to achieve home ownership. What are the common misconceptions that first-time home buyers have about credit, other than that it's not important? And how can they better prepare themselves financially before applying for a mortgage? Are there some any quick fixes, tips, tricks, anything that you like, say, let's put this into practice today?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, I want to disclose, I am not a credit repair company. I actually don't really believe in it. I think that really what we need to do is just know the rules of the game so that we can win.
Okay.
So I think there's two parts to that, two sides, I guess, to that spectrum in that question. There's a handful of people that believe, well, my credit score is too low, I may not qualify. And then there's other people that just don't know anything about what an underwriter or the guidelines are going to require. So let's start off with, I think my credit score is too low. There's actually programs out there, government-backed programs, VA, if you're a veteran of our military or active duty, you might qualify, or an FHA loan. And you don't have to be a first-time homebuyer to qualify for an FHA loan, but FHA would actually allow you to go down to a 580 credit score with just 3.5% down. If you have a larger down payment, if you have 10% down, you can actually go down to a 500 credit score. Now, it's not just the credit score. We're also looking at the credit profile. And what most lenders are looking at right now is something that's called trended credit. So they'll look at the last 24 months worth of your payment history. Your payment history makes up the biggest chunk of what your credit algorithm is comprised of. So really with FHA specifically, they're looking at the most recent 12 months of payment history. So if you're thinking about buying a house in the near future, the first thing I can tell you to do is be on time with all of your payments, anything specifically that is reporting to your credit report. So any credit cards, student loans, personal loans, car loan, be on time for that. And if you have a late payment, it's going to wind up hurting bad. So the very first thing I want to make sure I tell you is if you are experiencing a tough place in your life, you just lost a job, you just got diagnosed with something tragic has happened, communicate with your creditors. They will often allow you to go into a state of forbearance, which will postpone your payments for a few months while you get back on your feet without harming your credit score. But if you don't communicate with them and you ghost them, they don't like that and your credit will be wrecked. And it can take a very long time to recuperate from those late payments. They'll show up. Like I said, we've got that 24-month trended credit reporting.
I have a confession. Well, I haven't talked about this, but, you know, by the way, everyone who's listening, that word forbearance maybe wasn't in the common vernacular 5-6 years ago, but now what happened was during COVID, all of a sudden lenders were able to give forbearance to almost every home borrower out there, which was incredible. It became a little bit more commonly known. I had my own credit. I mean, literally losing sleep over this, Christy, where the bank switched payments. I had two investment properties where one payment was like $300 different than the other one. And the payments went to the wrong ones. The amounts went, and they kicked in this crazy thing that I never actually was able to figure out. And it dinged my credit for, like you said, that 24 month period. And it was so aggravating, hours and hours, and very nice people on customer service. "We're going to take care of this for you, sir. We're going to do it." And then nothing would ever happen. And I have relationships with lots of banks, and I of course won't name the bank, but it was heartbreaking on some level, because I had spent my whole life so focused on keeping that credit score perfect. And so, you know, if you're out there and you've had a ding on your credit, I can really feel your pain. And it really, you know, I had brown hair 5 years ago, and now look what happened to me. So is there, that's great advice, right? Make sure that you are, and I think what it goes along with in terms of preparing for your sale, people kind of go into home buying, or at least before they're starting to listen to our show, a little half-cocked. They're not totally prepared. They're not preparing as in ways that I think are relatively easy. Like, hey, make sure you pay your bills on time. I know that sounds crazy. You know, interview your agents to find an agent that you really love, that somebody who speaks your language. They're like, these are important things you can do. And I think it, you know, leads me to my next question. I mean, you host a podcast, you host a YouTube channel, you're focused on credit coaching in the context of mortgages. Is there one piece of advice, other than pay your bills on time, that you share with listeners about improving their credit or preparing, like I said, preparing for home ownership?
Absolutely. If your credit is newer, or if you're trying to reestablish your credit, a great way to improve your credit score without going into debt is to become an authorized user on somebody else's credit card. You cannot do this on an installment loan, but you can do it on a credit card. So here's the rules to the game. You'll want to find somebody who you trust. So often a family member, a really close friend, like lifelong friend. And what you want is a bank-issued credit card. What I mean by that is Discover Card, Capital One, something along those lines, not necessarily like a Best Buy store credit card or Victoria's Secret's credit card, right? So a bank-issued credit card. The goal is somebody who has had longevity. So at least 5 years of credit history with that credit card, high limit, low balance. So find somebody in your life that uses their credit card for gas and groceries, right? Pays it off, keeps a really low balance, but they've had it for several years. Here's what happens, Scott. As soon as you become an authorized user and you don't ever swipe that card, you don't need to know the account number, you don't have to have it delivered to your home, you're borrowing that one trade line's credit history. So if it's 5 years old, you now have, as soon as it reports, and it's going to report at their bill cycle. Let's say the bill is due the 16th, somewhere between the 12th and the 19th is going to report on your credit. You're going to have that 5 years of beautiful, delicious credit history. Not just from the date you became the authorized user, from the date that account started.
Okay. Christy, before we go on, I've never heard anyone use the phrase delicious credit history. Okay. I can't let that one go. That's so funny.
We've got to have some fun, right?
This sounds so easy to do. You just have to have someone who
trusts you.
Trusts you.
And now, has good credit.
And has good credit. Now, buying a home is not just a financial transaction. It's an emotional journey. This is what I'm talking about all the time. That's why we're even doing this podcast in the first place. How do you help first-time home buyers? And I just described, I'm somebody who's been in real estate for 20 years, and I couldn't sleep sometimes because of a ding on my credit. Not like anything else went wrong. It was just reputational freak out. How do you help first-time home buyers manage the emotional side of purchasing their first home, especially when there are challenges like credit issues or, you know, obviously market uncertainty or whatever it is?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I've been through a lot of different market swings. And if there is one thing that stands true is we all have to have a roof over our head. Real estate, especially long-term, is one of the best and key elements in building wealth. And I am a huge advocate of owning real estate. Not everybody wants to be a landlord or, you know, own a whole bunch, but to own your own home, there's a lot of science behind it where kids do better in school because their roots are planted. There's something that I experienced.
Yes. Better health outcomes. I just wrote an op-ed about it. It's crazy.
For sure. And there's something that really happens inside of us when we're a homeowner. I think that there is a sense of pride and accomplishment. So I know what it's going to be like on the other side. So how I best prepare first-time homebuyers is, first of all, this is not just a transaction of buying a home. Once you buy that home, you are now a homeowner. And that is a state of being in its own. So we've got to make sure that you're prepared for the responsibility that comes along with that. And that means on-time payments. You know, usually your payment includes your taxes and insurance, but if you choose to pay that on your own and you're allowed to with the loan type you go with, got to make sure you pay that because you do not want to lapse on your homeowner's insurance or be late with your property taxes. They're not very happy about that. Now, to prepare emotionally, you've got to ask yourself some questions. One is, do I intend on staying in this home for a few years? A lot of times, home buyers, especially the first-time home buyers, don't realize that it costs a little bit more to sell than what your closing costs are to buy. And so you've got an investment when you purchase it, just like on a car, right? We've all heard the commercials for car dealers and it says plus tax, tag, title, and dealer fee. You're paying closing costs when you're buying a car. You also pay closing costs when you're buying a home, a different set of closing costs, but closing costs when you're selling your home. So usually there's a break-even point and it takes a few years. So do you intend on staying in this home for a few years? And if the answer is yes, this might work out well for you. What are your plans as far as your family? If you intend on, you know, going into partnership with somebody and having, you know, a boatload of babies, you probably want to start off with a bigger room count so that you don't have to replace that home in just a couple of years. But if you're like, hey, I don't want a whole bunch of extra humans and pets and everything else. It's just going to be me and I'm good with that. You know, I see a lot of times first-time homebuyers, especially, try to replace the parents' home that they moved out from. But we got to remember, your parents didn't start off at that home, right? My parents started off in a single-wide trailer.
This is a really good point. And I want to come back to the trailer piece.
Yes. So your first home is your first home, right? It's to get you into the market. And you don't necessarily need to be heating and air conditioning a 3,500 square foot home. If you're not going to be filling that space. So paying attention to where your family size is now and what your intentions are. I've talked to some people who were young. They weren't even married yet. They had no kids and they were talking about school zones. And I said, is this going to be your forever home or is this going to be your first home? Because most first-time homebuyers will sell sometime between 3 and 5 years. The number's slightly skewed right now because a lot of people got in at 2% and 3% interest rates. And so they're staying in it a little bit longer. But right now is the ideal time. In a lot of communities across the country, there are a lot more homes to choose from than what there had been in just the last couple of years. And I'm seeing sellers making some concessions, meaning giving some extra bonuses for choosing their home. They're paying closing costs. They're replacing roofs. They're buying down interest rates. They're doing things to help move the property because there's a little bit more competition out there if you're a seller. It's an extraordinary time right now to be a buyer. Scott, last thing I want to say on this. When I was working with my buyers in 21 and 22, some of them were one of 50, 60, 70 offers.
Right.
So and if they bids. Were getting financing, they probably weren't even in the top 10% of being considered. Right now, you've got negotiation power. It's an extraordinary time to be a buyer.
Okay. We're going to talk about, it's a good segue because in order to win some of those bids, you need a good real estate agent. And you're somebody who trains real estate agents and you work directly with clients. This is a question, this is not a knock on real estate agents any more than it's a knock on home buyers for not knowing things before they start. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how financially literate is the typical real estate agent and how financially literate is the typical first-time home buyer on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would honestly, the typical, say it's probably somewhere between 3 and 4 if I were being really honest. It took me several years to learn my guidelines for financing and they change all the time, right? So I don't expect anybody to be at that level of understanding that. But to your point of having an exceptional realtor, somebody who spends a lot of time being educated, updating their education, getting some certifications, really leaning into their practice, somebody who is stellar at negotiations. And it's funny because a lot of people who enter this industry as a realtor have zero sales experience. And so just improving their communication skills, making sure that they're explaining the needs really clearly and being a good guide for their buyers. Again, those first-time homebuyers don't know what they don't know, right? So what is really important? What if you wind up buying a home and you hate the layout? Like, I hate a galley kitchen, right? Or I didn't think about all three bedrooms being on one side of the house and I have stinky teenagers right outside of my bedroom door. Like you wanted them on the other side of the house, but you didn't really think about that because you hadn't bought a home before. So a really great question you might be asking yourself right now, realtor or a first-time home buyer, think about a home that you've been in, maybe not even lived in. It could have been a family member's or a friend down the street that you loved. What did you love about it? What was that feeling that you loved? It probably has a lot to do with the layout and how everything was spread out in the home. And make sure you find that kind of layout for your next home, or you communicate that with your agent. You can go and look at home after home after home that's in your price point, right? Has the bedroom count, the bathroom count, the school zone, if that's important to you, location to your work. Yep. And you go, I hate it. It's like the 14th house. You say, I hate it. What is, you've got to find out what you can use as a comparison to explain what you loved about other homes so you can emulate that in your next home.
I'm not sure I want to let you off the hook, Christy, about the financial literacy though.
Okay.
But you said essentially real estate agents come in and it takes a long time for them to learn and you want to have good agents who do all these things. But yes, the financial literacy is a really important part. It's one of the legs of, you know, that's going to, you know, one of the tripod for a real estate agent. They have to care about you first and foremost, and they have to really know their business, but then they also have to understand, hey, you know, what are your needs so that we can make sure that you're not getting into a mortgage that doesn't suit your time horizon and so on. Now, you touched on about growing up in a double wide. And now, you know, fast forward, you've got a podcast, you've got a thriving business, and you've helped a lot of other people achieve home ownership. How is helping others do this shaped your own approach to real estate and finance? And I think more importantly, how has it changed what home means to you?
Oh gosh, it's such a beautiful, deep layered question. You know, I still remember the feeling of buying my first home. It was extraordinary. I did it as a single gal. I wound up buying a couple of rental properties, investment properties along the way. There's something very empowering about doing something that major. And especially working with first-time home buyers, I've served over 1,000 families buy a home. Not all of them are first-time home buyers, but a big chunk because it's my heart to celebrate at that closing table and to know what's in store for them. Right? They're building wealth. In just the last 5 years alone, nationally, equity has gained 44%, according to National Association of Realtors. And so when you bought a home for $250,000, $300,000, and now you've got a couple hundred thousand dollars in equity, you've got this really affordable home payment. And now you can start thinking about those major things in life, right? You've got that part secured. Now you can start thinking about the 529 college account for your kids, your retirement account, funding your fun bucket, right? Like, how many people can't even think about having a fun bucket in their life because they're just trying to make ends meet? So when I see what happens on closing day and we're celebrating this major feat, and then I get to talk to my clients, you know, months or years later, and the extraordinary things that they're doing in their lives, I know it's a lot of it has to do with they chose yes for their home. It's just there's a home is where the heart is so much more than just a saying. It truly is where you get to open up your life to friends and family and share a part of you that is intimately yours. It's really special.
Christy Neruzzi, thank you so much for being on the podcast. You have such a big heart, and that's, I think, the thing that many home buyers don't realize that on the other side of the mortgage process is not just a cardboard cutout and a mean team of underwriters, which they do exist, but it's also somebody who cares deeply about getting you into your home. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
That's it for this episode of The Pursuit of Home. I hope today's conversation gave you insight, clarity, and maybe even a new way to think about your own home search. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to follow, rate, and review the show. It really helps us reach more people on their own journey to home ownership. And when you're looking to dive deeper into your own home buying journey, don't forget The Pursuit of Home, a real estate guide to achieving the American dream, is now a national bestseller, and it's available wherever you buy your books. I share real-life strategies and insights to help you make empowered decisions in today's market so that you will find a house that supports you in every area of your life. The Pursuit of Home is proudly produced by Fame, the B2B podcast production agency. Find The Pursuit of Home on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere you listen to your podcasts. And if you want to connect, you can find me on social media or at magneticre.com. Until then, happy home hunting.